Everybody knows a guy, but we've got the guy. The Home Improvement Show. Here's Ken Connors and Yannis.
And if you have a question, call right now and grab a line. That's my best advice to you because it fills up quickly at 514-790-0800 for the full hour. We finally got the guy to take a day off. Jan is away today, but Walter Assey from Renovco has filled in before and answered our call once again to come in and pinch it for Jan is here in the studio. Good morning.
Morning,
good
Ken.
To see you. Good to see you. Walter, you're one of, I think, the two guests that I've had here in the studio since the pandemic started.
I know, it's exciting.
Welcome. Well, I should have a gift basket for you or something.
We'll hug after.
We'll hug after, yeah. I can only imagine what the last year and a half have been like for you. Like a lot of businesses, very challenging, have to roll with the punches, adapt, and no one could have predicted this. It was a whole new ball game for us on so many different fronts, right?
Oh, you have to act fast and adapt fast. Like I was telling you off air, we're actually importing rough materials right now because we can't buy gyprock or drywall or plywood. So it's been challenging, but you have to adapt quickly and keep on trucking.
There you go. All right. If you want to talk to Walter and get some advice on your home improvement project, 514-790-0800. We're going to start with John. John, you're in LaSalle, right?
Yes. Hi, good morning.
Good morning. You have a wasp problem?
Yes, I noticed that in the summer, the wasps go into the weep holes, you know, of the bricks. So I'm not sure if it's a problem, if it's okay. I tried to spray some Raid in there, but you have to keep on doing it and doing it over and over again. They're pretty tough, those wasps.
Yes, and you don't want a nest to develop in there because that's become more problematic for you in the future. It's actually there's a quick fix to that. If you would go to the any home hardware store, they have those rubber plugs. It looks like a ventilation register, but it's more vertical. Okay. And you just plug these holes in with those rubberized registers, if you wish. That will keep the air going in. It will keep the water coming out, but it will prevent the insects from coming in there. Believe it or not, we've found some big insects and you know, in certain cases, small mice that were able to crawl into these weep holes if they're fairly close to the ground. So that will be a quick fix for you, and you don't have to worry about it for a long time after that.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you so much.
Try, though, before you plug those holes with that, try to get rid of the wasps if you can. Whether you're spraying the Raid or putting in some smoke or whatever, just to get them out of there. So if there's a nest in there, you just make sure that you're not plugging it in either.
Right, great. All right, thank you.
John, be careful.
Yeah,
all right. 514-790-0800 to call and get some free advice here on home renovation projects with Walter Assey from Renovco for the full hour. 514-790-0800. Some from the text line. What's the best way to fix or repair the tears in a screen door? Is that a do-it-yourselfer or do you have to take it in?
I mean, you can. There are mobile companies. They come to your home. I don't know if you've...
You know what? You're right. Sorry.
Yeah.
You're right. My pen
it's
just
becoming dangerous in the studio now.
Thank God for the plexiglass. I almost had my pen. You know what? I did see a truck recently.
Yeah. And they don't charge expensive. They're fairly quick. They do it in their truck and they bring it back to you. Yeah. You know, it's $10-$20 a screen. That will be the best, really fastest way and cheapest way to do it.
Mm-hmm. You could probably go online too and find places the area.
For sure, for sure.
Over the last 12, 14 months, the big box stores, the Reno Depots, the Home Depots, they were so busy, so crowded. People were at home. They were stuck at home. They were looking around the house. They were looking for things to do. And so all these projects took hold. And one of the things people did is that they weren't traveling. And so whatever money they had put aside for vacations, they put back into the house.
That's right.
And I imagine you saw a lot of that business as well, right?
We did. And the value of the homes, of course, went up drastically. So people now don't want to sell and, you know, they want to just hunker down and make their space beautiful. Plus, people appreciate their homes a lot more now because, you know, they stayed a lot of lockdown. They understand how important it is to stay at home and have a good, comfortable home. So,
Walter, were you seeing situations, though, because the market is so hot that people were fixing up their homes because they wanted to get it back on the market?
You know, a lot of my clients, they're more interested in keeping it for a long time. And even though they were thinking to sell, they're not as much because they don't find the alternative. So when they look out there, they don't find a, you know, better home or a better priced home, I should say. Mm-hmm. So they're just improving what they have. And, you know, it's, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't.
Absolutely. With Walter Assey from Rinalco, 514-790-0800. Again, from the text line, if there's a crack in your foundation, is it necessary? How worrisome is that? How do you evaluate the concern over a crack in the foundation? Is it necessary to fix it? And how long can you wait?
That's a very good question. So it depends on a lot of factors. The most important thing to look for when you have a foundation crack is water infiltration. Hydrostatic pressure, if you actually go on YouTube and you see how much hydrostatic pressure or a crack in a foundation creates water into your wall cavity, it's actually surprising. It's like almost an open hose. And the danger with that is that you don't see it. So you do have a wall cavity that is covering the foundation, and then you have a subfloor most likely in your basement. So the water comes in, it seeps through the exterior wall and goes into your subfloor, creating puddling. And by the time you realize that you have a water problem, wood rot would have started, carpenter ants, mold, you name it. It becomes a very advanced degradation, if you wish, and it would have spread throughout the whole basement. Mm-hmm. So think of it as, you know, as important for the health of the home, and the fact that it will cost you a lot more if you don't fix it right away. The other thing is the structural integrity, right? So if it's a wide crack and, you know, it's in the wrong place, you know, the house moves, settles. The crack gets bigger, it becomes more complicated to fix and mm-hmm. to repair. So definitely it's something not to take lightly. It's not very expensive to fix when you catch it at the beginning. Think of it, you know, like a windshield crack. Starts with a small thing and yeah. you can actually fix it. And the more you wait, the bigger it becomes. So definitely it's something I should not ignore.
Walter, we've been hearing a lot over the last year or so about the shortage of wood. Has that been a major issue for you at Rinalco?
The shortage of wood is a major issue. The shortage of drywall right now is a bigger issue. Hmm. Like I said, we're importing our own. We never had to do that before. So it was forced upon us. The pricing as well. You can't keep up with the price variations, which makes it more challenging when you're estimating jobs. But we had, in our case, we were lucky enough to have warehousing facilities that were actually able to ship in containers and lock them in at a certain price and then keep big quantities and supplies. And we're actually selling to contractors right now that are coming to us and buying these products. So it's just a question of adapting to the reality of what we have today. And, you know, when you disturb a supply chain, it's not that easy to start it back up again. I mean, stopping the economy is one thing worldwide. Starting it again is another. So it's not a problem that's going to be short-term, unfortunately.
But there's a light at the end of the tunnel, we hope.
There's always a light at the end of the tunnel.
If you want some free advice here on your home renovation project, something in the house that you need to get taken care of and you want to do it yourself, or maybe you need some help, 514-790-0800. Again, 514-790-0800. Text line is 514-800. It's exactly 9:15.
Back to school is in the bag at Walmart with everyday low prices. Get a 24-pack of Crayola crayons for only 88 cents. Walmart. Save money, live better.
Improving your home, one call at a time. The Home Improvement Show with Ken Connors and Yannick.
Yon is off today. Walter Assey from Rinalco is filling in to answer your phone calls and your questions about your home rental project. 514-790-0800 on the text line is 514-800. We're going to Chateauguay. Is it Savitri? Hello?
Yes, hello?
Hi, come to the phone.
Hi, hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Oh, very good. You want to talk to Walter about a crack in your basement wall?
Yes. Okay. Yes, in the basement wall, a crack, and water is coming in from outside.
Mm-hmm. Water's coming in from outside, in the basement wall, crack. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, from the side.
So what is your question?
Well, the question is, I need a professional to take care of it, mm-hmm. like...
Okay. So that's exactly what we've been talking about before the commercial. Foundation cracks. The main problem is eventually they leak, right?
Yeah.
And the problem with them leaking is you don't see it right away. You see it after a while, and that creates a havoc into the materials inside the basement.
Right.
So what you want to determine is, number one, in your case, it's a good thing because you actually see the crack, right?
Yeah, well, yes. I can't see the crack, but I can see water coming on the basement floor. Like, there's water. Whenever there's raining, water comes in on the floor.
Okay, so what makes you think it's a crack?
Well, once I dug the outside at the side of the wall.
Okay.
And I had some problem with the... Bell Canada wire was all there under the arch, you know. There's okay. a lot of wire from Bell Canada.
Yeah.
And I had to stop digging it because I had to refinance back Bell Canada. So I stopped and I didn't get to do it after.
Okay, so you actually saw the crack because, I mean...
I dug it from the outside.
Okay, so it's important that we... You know, at least we understand that, or if we see the crack, it's easy. We know it. We locate it because in some cases, believe it or not, there is a crack, but it's not as easy to see. So it's a bit more complicated. In your case, it's pretty straightforward. The other thing you want to also look at when you have water in your basement, some people think it's a crack, and not all the time it's a crack. Sometimes it's the window well that's leaking. Sometimes it's a French drain. So the fact that you do have... you know, you've done visual contact with that crack is good. Have to be dug from the outside. We go all the way down, you know, clean it up,
right.
Urethane it, and then you're off to go. We put a delta membrane around it, and then you're good to go for many, 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 many years. So, yeah, it's not a problem at all.
How's that, Savitri?
Yeah, but if I can get professional to come in, where do I go? Who do I look for? You know, I need some professional to come and do it.
Okay, so not to push our services or anything. You can just Google, you know, foundation crack repairs. We do that kind of thing, but there's many, many, many other companies that do as well. And they will, you know, come and give you, sometimes they just give you, you send them a picture, they give you a quotation on the phone as well. So
yeah.
You don't even have to go there.
You could do your shopping on the phone, Savitri.
Yes. Or something on the phone. And what about a pump? You know those pump in a basement? Would it help also?
That will have nothing to do with your foundation crack. That will help to get rid of the water from your French drain.
Have any French drain right
okay,
now.
Okay, so then you would not need, unless you have a high water table under your slab, you would not need that whatsoever. You know, that would not fix, obviously, your foundation crack. You know, it's totally unrelated things.
Yeah, I know, but yeah. I think water, because I live near to the river, so I think the basement probably having water coming, you know.
You have a suspicion that you have some water coming from around the foundation?
Yeah.
Okay. And what makes you sure that you don't have French drain? When was the house built?
Oh, in 1966.
Okay. 1966, they would have had to install French drains. It's terracotta. It's usually in terracotta, but it's very common that they would have to have a French drain.
Okay, but I don't have one.
And how do you know that for a fact?
Oh, well, my basement, I can see, you know, I can see it.
Okay, you can't see French drain, though. It's on the outside.
From inside, it's not finished. It's completely unfinished. So I can... It's wide open.
Okay. Now, there are ways, because it's an unfinished basement, you know, if a French drain is what's needed to stop the water, there are ways to do it from the inside. It's not the best ways, but it is a way. So that's the fact that you don't have an unfinished basement. That you have an unfinished basement could potentially work for you. And that's all going to boil down to the type of landscaping that you have around the house. Meaning
right.
If you have, you know, if you have a lot of landscaping that is expensive or pavers and you really want to avoid disturbing that, then we could explore options from the inside.
No, I don't have a lot of landscaping. It's just an asphalt driveway the side and two big trees in front.
So excavating from the outside is definitely an option. It's the better option. Because that will give you access to membrane in your foundation. You know, if you want to go with an elastomeric membrane around the foundation and then a delta system as well, and that will ensure that the foundation is protected for a long, long, long time.
Right.
So that doing it from the outside have a lot of advantages. You can even insulate the fact that you don't have a finished basement right now. You can even insulate the foundation from the outside by digging, and that will, you know, make
so
you...
I go where again for these professionals?
Yeah, I mean, we do that type of service, but many other companies do as well. It's good
What's
to have
your company. I would like to explore your company.
It's Renovco.
Renovco, okay.
Yeah, it's Renovco, yeah. So, Walter is not suggesting you call him, but you can do your shopping around and get different estimates, and there's plenty out there if you just do some homework, Savitri.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Today, I'm here to fill up for you and not to push my company.
Exactly. 514-790-0800-926 from the text line as well. We have got in Longueuil, a wooden backyard patio deck. And it is sinking on one side. What's the best way to shore it up?
Okay.
Over time, I guess. You know, it sinks, starts to sink.
Yeah. So we want to also look at what type of foundation they had underneath. Is it sonotube? Is it technopure? Is it just on a deck block? A lot of times we've seen those, do-it-yourself type of projects by which, you have a 4x4 straight on the soil.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a definite no-no because, you know, eventually that, you know, the ground would move and it will settle and then the wood would rot as well. And then, poof, you have. So that is something that if it's a definite no-no. You could definitely try to shore up the deck from around the column that is sagging.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can jack it up a bit, and then you put in
supports.
So, well, before we put in the supports, we want to make sure that we have an adequate type of a sonotube system, sonotube or a technopure system, something that does not move as much. And then you will put your support right into that.
Is this a common problem where the deck sag?
It's a common problem when you don't have the proper foundation. Like if you were to do it on a technopure, it will. That foundation is that deck is going nowhere because it's really, you have a really solid foundation. When you start putting it on a deck block type system, you know, it's just a piece of stone that you put your support in it. The problem is if as soon as the ground moves under, you know, your whole deck is moving,
right?
And it's a hassle, especially if it's a big deck, to have to lift it up and do all of this work and shore it and. And it's not really comfortable to work underneath there because, you know, most of the time it's not, you don't have much space.
Yeah.
So it is a problem. And, you know, that's why we say whenever you do decks, yes, you know, to pay for a technopure system or a sonotube system, it's more expensive, it takes longer to do and so on and so forth. But that's what's really going to protect your investment.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that is difficult to get to in renovations, do it first, even if it costs more at the beginning. Long term, it will pay back the value.
Peace of mind as well. Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you. 514-790-0800. If you have a question about your home rental project, let us know. The text line as well at 514-800. More of your phone calls and more advice from Walter Assey when we come back here on the Home Improvement Show.
Improving your home, one call at a time. The Home Improvement Show with Ken Connors and Yannick's.
514-790-0800. Where else are you going to get 1 hour free advice here like you do every Saturday morning on the Home Improvement Show? Walter Assey's in for a vacationing Yon Eakes, and we're glad to have him. Let's go to Greenfield Park and say hi to Isabella. Hi, Isabella.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine. How are you today?
Very good. You want to talk to Walter about a chimney repair, right?
Yes, I have a chimney and it's leaking, and I would like to find someone to repair it, but it is so difficult to find someone.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what's leaking in the chimney, Isabel?
The top part of the chimney, the whole chimney needs
repointing.
Repointing, that's the word, repointing.
So when you're outside looking at a chimney, you see that the mortar have been degrading or have deteriorated, right?
Right, it's not looking nice.
Okay. How about the chimney cap on top?
The chimney cap on top, that's okay too.
It's okay or it needs to be replaced as well?
Well, if I find someone, I'll replace the cap too.
Okay, so typically for these types of jobs, you need masons. These are the pros that would actually do it. Now, where you will find it a bit challenging, it's a small job in a very short season.
Yeah.
So that's probably where you're having lots of trouble finding someone to do it, because
right,
they'd rather be on the big jobs rather than, you know, this type of job, unfortunately, will take, you know, a couple of days, and in a couple of days, they could do a lot more on a bigger job, right? So,
right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a question.
But then I have to have it done because water will be coming into the bottom of the chimney and spoil the inside of the house too.
I agree. Send me an email about your information. I'll try to help you out.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Thanks, Isabella. Let's go to Rob, who's been waiting patiently in NDG. Hi, Rob.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I'm looking at this condo, and I'm really keen on buying it. It's got a lot of positives. One of the negatives that I found is in the kitchen, behind the kitchen sink, there's actually a large window, let's say 5 feet by 8 feet, 5 feet long by 8 feet high, let's say.
Hmm.
And over the years, water, there's no backsplash, and water's gone over onto the wooden window frame next to the floor. So it's about 6 inches above the floor. There's a wooden window frame. And the paint has peeled away. When I did the inspection on the condo, and there's wood rot underneath the paint.
Mm-hmm.
And there's about 3 inches, let's say, depth of visible wood rot, where you see the wood is like black and dark brown, and it's in little pieces of wood. And it kind of bubbles, the paint bubbles, so you can kind of see that it's at least 4 feet long. So my question is, how serious is that? Is there a mold issue that's associated with that? A friend of mine told me that there's possibly black mold. And now what I'm afraid of is there possibly some mold that could have gone in the walls and contaminated the beams and the joists and the like?
Okay. So one of the things that we want to clarify is that mold comes in different colors. Black is one of them. But, you know, whenever you have any material that is cellulose-based or porous that gets wet for a period of time without any mechanical drying, that creates mold. Matter of fact, mold will start forming within 24 to 48 hours of any of this material getting wet. The good news is when you catch it at the beginning and you mechanically dry it, you can get rid of it way faster. When you take a wood component, okay, so it's a 2x6, 2x4, 2x10, whatever that wood structure is, and stays wet for a long time, and as soon as it achieves above 23% relative humidity in the material, wood rot would start. Wood rot is through the action of mold. So definitely you would have mold. Now, if it's localized, we could open that section, and you could change the place. You know, when you open it, you have to be very careful. The idea with mold is the demolition is the most sensitive and most crucial part of the whole job. So you have to have the proper staging, proper containment, negative air, and so on and so forth. and you can locally change that area if it haven't spread further, and replace all the materials that is rotted, disinfect, and off you go. So if it's a smaller area, it's not necessarily as serious. Do you want to know if it's spread in the air? You could do an air quality test, and then, you know, we could address that as well. But, you know, mold is also how big the area and how sensitive. Because you're right, sometimes if it's structural and you have a wooden beam that is rotted, it's going to cost you a lot more expensive than if you're just replacing a couple of 2x4s that are not structural in an exterior wall, for example.
Rob, is it just limited to behind the kitchen sink?
Well, I have to go back. I have another inspection to do. I'm doing the inspection myself, and I have to go back and verify that, basically. I'm going to go poke some holes where I see the mold to try to see how far it goes close to the wall, because there's about, visibly, where the paint has bubbled or peeled away, there's about 2 feet between that and the adjacent wall in the kitchen. So I want to poke between that space to see if that's solid. And if it is solid, then you know what? I mean, the whole window is due for a change anyway. So if I could find a contractor to come in and change the entire window frame, then that would solve that problem, I'm hoping. I just, really, my concern now is contamination in the other, within the walls. And also, there's a few spots where there has been leaks in the roof over the years. And you can kind of see that the paint has peeled away and the previous owner attempted to conceal the damage, because the drywall that's there has irregular screws. So you can see that they just basically patched it. So my concern is, behind those patches that they did, is it possible that the beams should be contaminated with that mold?
Well, again, anytime you have water damage that is not repaired properly, you could have mold. The idea is how big the surface is, and if it's a smaller surface, it's not that much of a big deal. In the case of your window, the fact that you're changing the window is awesome, because what we can do now is we can open the drywall or around it, change all the framing below that window frame, because now there's no weight being carried, and it makes it a much easier job. And a much cleaner job. So because you have that in the intention, it's not a big deal on that particular wall to do what you need to have done.
Right, because I'm going to take the whole frame out anyway, instead of trying to just cut out the part with the mold.
Yeah.
Have to worry about contamination in the air and the like. I'm going to get a contractor to just basically take that whole window, and next to it there's a sliding glass door. I want to take the whole thing out and put an entire new unit in there.
And but, you know what? It's probably going to cost you cheaper labor. Maybe material you're going to need more. But the fact that you're changing the whole thing, rather than pieces and cutting and this and that, it's going to probably cost you cheaper on labor to do all of that. So plus, it's going to make it's going to give them proper access, and they could just do. You can reinstallate that wall as well properly. So there's a lot of advantages. Because don't forget, it's also about the insulation. Once you have wet insulation in the exterior wall, that insulation, if it's not urethane, it loses its R value, which becomes a cold pocket on your wall, which creates condensation, which creates your mold, right? So, it's you need to kind of attack this in different directions, and the proper way would be to, okay, you're replacing the window anyway, so let's replace the insulation, disinfect the wall, and take out that rotten structure and put some new ones, and off you go.
And those mold spores, they're probably most likely going to go to where there's humidity in the condo. So if the wall, which is 2 feet away, if the wood inside that wall is humid, there'd be more of an issue. If it was dry all the years that the problem existed, it's less likely that the mold would contaminate it.
Well, not really, because the mold feeds on wet material, right? And if you have an issue that is seepage, mold loves that, because it's something continuous. It keeps the areas moist, and it can feed on, wet insulation, wet gyprock, drywall, wet wood for a long, long time. You can't really tell how long or how big the colonies are. The fact that they're letting you open up walls and holes in that wall is awesome during inspection, because that's very rare.
Oh, they're not. They're not actually.
Oh, because you said that you're gonna go back and do some holes.
Yeah, I'm gonna only on the wooden window frame.
Okay.
Only on the wooden window frame. But as far as getting inside the chip rock and taking off the patches that they did, I don't think. Would a home inspector have permission to do that? Probably not.
Not a permission, but I mean, look, there's many things you could do. You could have a thermal imaging camera. Some good home inspectors have that. And they can see, detect the pockets of humidity in that wall. And then they can kind of, you know, if the insulation is wet, we could follow the trail and see where the pockets are and how far they spread. And that will give us a good indication on how far the mold has spread in that wall. There's also moisture sensors that we could put. And that technology can help in cases like that. And, But again, the fact that you're doing work on that wall and you have that in the intention, it becomes less of a big deal than someone that don't want to touch anything and just want to fix that problem. So, you know, but definitely you could, if you're hiring a home inspector, ask them if they have a thermal imaging camera or at least moisture meters so they can help you determine without having to open the wall.
Rob, we're up against the clock. I hope that was some help for you.
Yeah, great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Good luck
with
it.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much.
Everybody knows a guy, but we've got the guy, the Home Improvement Show. Here's Ken Connors and Yannick's.
We are back here. Home stretch, 10 away from 10 o'clock. Lisa's standing by with the car show, of course, after our 10 o'clock CTV news update. And Walter Assey's been filling in for Yannick's, who's taking a day off. Well-deserved break. Let's go back to the phone here and say hi to Sybil. Hi, Sybil.
Hi, how are you?
You're calling from the other side of the border in beautiful Alexandria.
Yes, it certainly is beautiful here.
Very
like
nice.
Paradise.
Oh, let's talk about your problem. Is it a basement issue with water?
Yes, it's a water inundation in the basement. We've lived here about a year and a half.
Yeah.
And we had a few kind of strange bits of leak in the basement. About two-thirds of it is finished. And then the other third is a crawl space. And there was some water in the crawl space that we couldn't figure out where it was coming from. It didn't happen during a rain or anything. It was the first time it happened was like in the middle of the winter with no precipitation. It wasn't a lot, but then eventually in the finished portion of the basement, we had water bubbling up through the finished floor. We called our insurance. They demolished the basement pretty much and found a crack in the foundation in the finished side of the basement that was repaired. All the basement was refinished. We had to pay for the crack in the foundation. It wasn't covered by the insurance. We had to get the deck removed, had to pay for a new deck. So it's been quite expensive. And the deck and everything was finally finished about a month ago. And a couple of days ago, we had this torrential downpour of rain, and lo and behold, in the crawl space, we had that same a couple inches of water in a portion of the crawl space that had never happened before during a rain. So now that we've had everything repaired, we're very concerned that there was something that they didn't find wrong with the basement, and we might have to have the deck ripped off again and have it rebuilt and so on. So we kind of don't know who to call or what kind of person to call. I phoned the insurance, and they haven't returned my call because we didn't want to do something before we consulted them. Mm-hmm. And we listen to your show every Saturday and hear about Renovco and listen to Yannick's religiously, so we thought we'd give you a call.
Sure. So, the best way to approach this, and I'm just going to give you different steps, is to do things yourself at the beginning, and you know, there's no one better than you to know your own home.
Okay.
We have to follow the trail of evidence. Now, you've mentioned a foundation crack on a finished area in the basement that was repaired. The crawl space could potentially be two different foundations, right? Because it's okay. A split level. So we don't know if they're poured at the same time. They could be different heights, different foundations, different systems altogether. So that have to be looked into. If you have the original plans of the house, that will help tremendously. If you don't, we're just going to use the logic and see you know, because again, if they're doing a crawl space foundation, they must have dug it down to, let's say, 4.6 feet, whereas the real foundation of the house is at 8 feet, right? So you might be looking at two different sets of foundations, thus meaning two different sides of problems or two different sides of solutions in this case. So you might have to have work done on one foundation, but not the other one, simply because they're two different systems. That's, in a way, it's good news. That means if there's something to do, you don't have to go all the way in certain cases. Having said that, now water infiltration, again, in a basement can happen from many different areas. And if we can follow the trail, that would be awesome. If it's unfinished, you should, every time it rains, you should be able to be down there with a flashlight and see where the water is coming in, and that would be a great indication for us what to do.
Okay.
Now, usually when you have a repetitive damage, you would have efflorescence on the cement, and that's another indication. So yeah. If it's coming from an upper part of the foundation, that means there is a penetration of from, you know, sometimes it can come all the way up from the brick down to a foundation crack. So we have to kind of follow where it's coming from, and we look, you know, we zero in on where the efflorescence is, and that will give us a part of the story. So we don't investigate necessarily the foundation as a whole, but we kind of zero in on the problematic side. If you see that the efflorescence or the staining is at the bottom part and it's throughout the whole perimeter or an important part of the perimeter, then we know it's a French drain problem. Okay. Now, yeah, so that takes us somewhere else completely. What you could do as quick fixes for now, just to kind of see if, you know, with these tweaks, things get better or eliminated completely. You go outside, you look where the downspouts are, your gutters, are they well extended out from the house? You re-slope you regrade the land away, the slope away from the house. So all the landscaping is sloping towards the outside of the house, at least 5 feet in, you know, towards the exterior.
Okay.
And, you know, let's say you have a failing French drain. If you do these little tweaks, 90%, you could potentially decrease the amount of water coming in, or in some cases completely eliminate it without having to necessarily replace your French drain. Okay? So before we go into the big production that, you know, some contractors like to go with, let's do this and let's excavate that and do, you know, try those tweaks yourself. These are things that are not expensive to do. It's worth the risk. You can do it over a weekend, and then, you know, the more information you can get to the specialist, the better it is that, you know, we can give you a proper solution to that issue.
Mm-hmm. And one thing in the crawl space is we think that we know where it's coming from now, because it happened only twice, once like a year and a half ago and then a few days ago. And once it was when there was no rain, and then it was the big rain a couple of days ago. But the previous owners have spray foamed the crawl space, so you don't see the foundation from inside the crawl space.
Sybil, it's quite the project, but unfortunately we ran out of time. We the show's over. I hope that was some help for you from Walter and those three tweaks that he suggested before you go whole hog.
Yeah, very, very much so. I'd like to know if Renovco would be the right kind of people to call for this.
You know, I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to talk to you off the air, all right?
Thank you.
Okay, let me put you on hold. Walter, thank you for a great hour.
My pleasure.
In for Yannick's here on the Home Improvement Show. We're back next Saturday morning here on CJAD 800.